Hi, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to Evoke Therapy Program's broadcast. Today is Monday, September 23rd, and I'm Dr. Brad Reedy. I wanted to take a little time tonight and slow down and talk about our intensives. I mention it each and every time at the end of our broadcast, but I wanted to take some time to unravel it for you. I think the name can be intimidating. I think intensives can be overwhelming. In fact, we've considered offering it under a different name because I think that that name can scare people off. But it's something that I'm passionate about talking about. If you've read my book, The Journey of the Heroic Parent, then you've seen, or excuse me, then you've read about my experience in going to it and how transformative it was for me. Since that time in 2010, I've been to at least one intensive every year. I've gone to a couples intensive. I've gone to two professional intensives. And it's just something I believe in, something that I've seen make a difference. And while my weekly practice is going to psychotherapy with my own therapist, that's something I'll do, I foresee myself doing for a long time yet to come. These intensive become these moments of kind of recentering or regrounding or even a more cathartic experience, a more emotional experience. So I'm going to try to take some of the mystery out of it and hopefully by doing that, I can also take away some of the fear and trepidation that people might have. And I'm going to be passionate about my belief that there are a few things that I think that you can do that can help your loved ones struggling with mental health and addiction more. Let me say that again. There are a few things that I think you can do that will be more helpful to help your loved ones than attending one of these. I think this is one of the most impactful things. I think years to come from now, it'll be more obvious to treatment programs across the country that getting parents into their own kind of work at this level will make a dramatic difference in terms of the outcomes and the sustainability of the work that gets started in programs like ourselves. So let's explain a little bit what it's about. The word intensive is really supposed to suggest that it is comprehensive. That it's a long period of time, several hours of day where you're spending in therapy. Now, not all of that time will be focused on you. I think some of the relief of the intensive are when the focus is on one of your other group members. But let me be clear, and I've seen it over and over and over again. As a facilitator, I feel the same way. You get as much out of other people's work as you do out of your own work. Watching somebody else go through a process and being a witness to that not only is a generous thing to do, but also provides insight for you. So it's an extended period of time, several hours in a day. We go for about 8 hours with some breaks over several days. And it's comprehensive. You don't have the limitation of a 1 hour session. So if you come to a point where you feel stuck or where you feel unclear, or where you feel unfinished, the intensive nature of it allows you to work through it over a period of several hours, over several days. It's a several-day therapeutic experience using primarily psychodrama and psychoeducation and other experiential activities. So we do some art, we do some other playful or game-like activities to get you to open up. Right? There's meditation and mindfulness training and education. So if you don't have a lot of experience with that, if that's something you're not very familiar with, we give you an introduction to that. And there's more than one kind of idea about mindfulness. I think a lot of people, when they imagine mindfulness, they think about kind of sitting in silence in the lotus position. And while that might be one way of meditation or mindfulness, there are several other ways. There's walking meditation. There's a kind of eating meditation, right? Mindful eating. There are mantras. There are daily readings that you can participate in that get you to focus on a thing. I think that therapy can be called a talking meditation because the idea of therapy is you're talking about what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what's going on in your body, in your mind, right? The sensations that you're having physically and emotionally. So therapy, in a way, is a talking meditation, a talking mindfulness. Like I said at the outset, time is on our side. So while you might have in your therapy session a limited amount of time to go through something, while this is time limited ultimately, you're talking about several days, and you can flesh some things out over those several days. I talk always about this idea of thinking about the intensive as a therapy springboard. For those of you that might be new or early to therapy, think of it as a springboard, a launching off point, a setting kind of the frame for what your project is, what you have to work on. So for those that are new to therapy, it can be a therapy springboard. For those that have more experience in therapy, when I attended my first therapeutic intensive in 2010, it was not a springboard for me. I had been in individual therapy with that current therapist, the one that I still have now, for 11 years. And I'd been in other therapy or psychotherapeutic processes for many years before that. So, but for me, in fact, I was surprised at how impactful it was. I was surprised that although I had that weekly experience, that I was able to go deeper, to go past some of the intellectualization of things, the defense or the distance that I was keeping with my issues. So the experiential nature of it for me and for the participants that I often facilitate can push past that, can go past that. So think of it as a springboard if you're new, or an accelerator if you have some experience. And I want to underscore that even if you have a significant amount of experience, if you haven't participated in a workshop or an experience like ours, I think you can greatly benefit from it. Again, I always say this when I'm talking to people. This is one of our easiest products for me to sell. I know that sounds maybe a little crass, but I say it that way to make the point because I believe in it. I do it. My wife has been on one. My two older adult children have been on one of their own. We encourage and support financially our administration and our therapists to go on these. Not our own program, but we pay for them to go to other programs like ours. So that's how much I believe in it. Like I said earlier, it's a group process. And for those of you, and I see some of you on here tonight who have participated in one, maybe even two therapeutic intensives, you learn as much from other people. And I feel like at times I'm cheating because I get as much out of watching somebody else's piece of work often as I do my own piece of work. It's emotionally powerful, right? It can be very raw, very tearful, very cathartic. But I want to say this is very important. I think this is one thing that Evoke does very, very well. We ground your work. We ground it in solid clinical theory. So we're not just giving you an emotional experience for the sake of it. We're then spending some time afterwards processing and teaching you and others in the group what it means, how going forward you might wrestle with the issue or work on the issue going forward. So I want to say that that's something I think that we do well. We do very well. I put this on here, creating a dialogue with a therapist, because I think for those of you who enjoy the podcast or the webinar broadcasts, or the weekly conversations with your Evoke therapist, I think this is a time to spend some time with an Evoke therapist where you can ask lots of questions. Sometimes I spend times in between our big pieces of work at the intensive where I'll sit and respond to people's questions, right? During the processing phase after a big piece of work is done, that is a psychodrama is done, then we'll spend time talking, answering, and discussing questions. Teyon Dayton is very famous in the psychodrama world. That's the I haven't defined that actually. Psychodrama is role playing. It's enrolling people in to serve as characters in your life's history, like your mother, your father. It could be in current day situations, like your spouse, your siblings, your children, and then having a dialogue with that person playing a role. So that's what psychodrama, that's the psychodrama that we do. There are other versions of it, right? You can enroll symbols or situations. I've had people in my professional workshops, for example, talk to their job talk to their shame. So it could be more symbolic, but traditionally it would look like creating an experiential exercise where there's dialogue and interaction with characters, with people playing roles. That might sound a little strange, and it might sound a little bit like therapy psychobabble, but virtually everybody who participates realizes really, really quickly of the power of that kind of therapeutic process. Oftentimes, Tion Dayton says, the body needs to lead the mind to the truth. The body needs to speak in its own voice to show rather than tell. So many of us are in our heads. And that's a great place for a lot of us to be. The insight can be developed there, right? Skill and tool development can be stored there. But some of our pain, some of our difficulties, some of our big T and little T trauma is stored more experientially, more in the body, not in the verbal parts of the brain. Some of our trauma happened pre-verbal. So it had to be stored in areas of the brain where we don't have access to verbally. So to go through these exercises, to express oneself physically, to get involved with your whole body, can really help you to get access to things that you couldn't otherwise access orally or verbally. Emma Reedy, our senior staff at the intensive, she also happens to be my adult daughter, adapted this idea from somebody else, but it's hers. And she said, we are wounded in relationships and we heal in relationships. There's this idea that we need to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, right? We need to snap out of it. We need to figure it out in our mind. But sometimes it's through the experience of creating a role play that we can work it out. Now, it doesn't get fixed. I want to say that at the outset. But what some of these psychodramas or experiential role plays do for you is they help you understand where the wound and where the stuck place is. So I think one of the great takeaways for many people is they realize what their project is. For me, in my very first intensive that I participated in 2010, it was simply to tell the truth to my wife and to others about what I felt and what I needed. And that was not something I was very good at. I was very good, have been very good most of my life at taking care of other people, but not very good at taking care of myself. And have been prone to compromise or sacrifice what I needed, what I wanted, what I felt, so that everybody else could be okay, especially those that are close to me. And that nearly destroyed me. So I found in my later life that I needed to show up and tell the truth, even if it was uncomfortable, even if it led to conflict. Ben Franklin has a famous saying that many of you heard, I'm sure. He said, tell me and I forget, show me and I remember, involve me and I learn. There's a couple of pictures for those of you that are looking at the video version of this, of just examples of exercises, right? This is what it looks like when you're sitting in a room. And again, I know it can seem a little bit strange, and it is for the first time. But you'll settle into it really quickly, and it'll become really real. And for most people, it becomes such a safe place that leaving and going back to, quote unquote, the real world becomes difficult and scary in some ways. Because of the safety of the place, because you were able to access some ideas, some parts of yourself, some feelings that you never have been able to at that level, at that depth. It can be intimidating to go back into the world where the world is very busy, there's a lot of noise, and it's not that safe. I included this slide on inner child work, and there's a picture for those of you looking at it of two children trapped inside adults that are turned away from each other. About inner child work. And there's a great deal of work about inner child work. And again, I don't want to overwhelm you or intimidate you by this. It's merely looking back at the unfelt world of your young self, the unexpressed world of your young self. And don't worry if you think that doesn't exist. Don't worry if you think you're not going to access it. By and large, virtually everybody gets in touch with those aspects of themselves that they've had to get rid of, had to suppress to get along, to make their way, to survive, really. And the more work that I've done, the more I can get in touch with the kind of primal needs that I have that show up in my life today as mental health symptoms. Right? I do things in my relationships with my wife, with my children, with friends and colleagues, things I don't like, things I have shame or disgust about, ways that I interact. But as I've done my work, my inner child work, I start to get in touch with the little scared, insecure, sad, powerless child inside of me that is trying to be found, be heard, be seen, trying to protect himself against the potential of getting hurt again. So it sounds very, again, like psychobabble, but it's really just a simple process of just kind of exploring yourself and your history. The first half of the intensive, the Finding You intensive, and I'll talk about the various intensives in just a moment. The first half, we talk primarily about your past, your childhood. There's other things that are talked about, but that's the focus of the first half of the intensive. The second half of the Finding You intensive, we talk about today. What are the challenges today with your children, with your spouse or partner, with your job, with your maybe your parents, maybe friends, maybe it's a life decision that you're struggling to make in life. We talk about that the second half, but we want to ground it. We want to understand where you come from so we can better understand what's at play here. What's the original battlefront, if you will? What makes Evoke, I think, exceptional in the area of intensives, like I said, is it's clinically sophisticated. We're not pop psychology. We would be more inclined to quote Carl Jung than we would Brené Brown, although Brené Brown has some wonderful quotes and some wonderful concepts. But we're really going to ground it in some strong traditional psychological theory. That comes into play too when we talk about what's aftercare for you. What do you need to do going forward? Maybe you need to attend Al-Anon. Maybe you need to hire a therapist. Maybe you need to find a support group. Maybe you need to develop a healthier practice around self-care. And what would that look like? I remember when I came out of mine, I bought a drum set. Because when I was a teen, I played the drums and I gave it up. It can be something unique to you. I want to tell you that the rule is we do this inside at a lodge. We don't do this outside in the wilderness. We have done them outside in the wilderness, but that's not where we do them today. So it's a very comfortable setting. It's all inclusive. All of your food and housing is taken care of. We provide a shuttle to and from the airport. So all you have to do is land in Salt Lake City. It's somewhere between a 20 and a 40 minute ride to the lodge, and we take care of everything from there. I think we do a good job of meeting clients where they're at. Right? There's this idea that you need to just trust us, trust the process is the phrase. And while I understand the invitation, the nature of the invitation to trust the process, we also want to understand why you don't trust the process, and we want to meet you there. And for me, and for the clients that I've worked with in my career, meeting you where you're at, even in your resistance, and understanding why that resistance is there has been an important part of moving past it. If we just tell you to get past it and to let go, we really, in a way, dishonor some of the big T and small T trauma that you've experienced in your life. We want to understand the defense rather than just confront it and knock it down. We expect you to be substance-free while you're with us. One of the exceptions is we do allow for tobacco. During breaks, you can smoke. We figure that in a five-day program, to ask somebody to give up cigarettes, for example, they're going to be fighting that battle for the first few days instead of concentrating on the work. So, but we do ask for substances, for recreational substances to be free, which means that if you need a detox because you're addicted to things, then this is not the first step for you. We ask you to check in your cell phones. Now, for some of you, that idea immediately might sound like paradise. For some of you, that might be hard. There are exceptions if there's an emergency, but essentially, we ask you to give us your electronic devices, your cell phones, your iPads, so that you're not communicating with people at home. It's a really immersive experience. For me, that's one of the best parts of it. because I do have a tendency to take care of other people at my own expense. And so telling everybody I'm going to be out of contact, out of pocket for a handful of days is really a relief to me. We have an emergency number. If anybody at home needs to contact you, they can do that. They can call us and we can get a hold of you. We can get you in contact with them. But other than that, we ask everybody in all of our intensives to check in their cell phones and to stay off electronic devices while they're with us. It's a safe environment, right? It's a place where we set up group rules, group expectations. The therapist then supports and facilitates a non-judgmental experience. So you can talk about something completely different from everybody else's experience, and it's just fine. There are 5 intensives that we run at Evoke Therapy Programs. I'm going to talk about all of these, but I'll just list them here. Finding you, finding family, finding connection, personal growth workshops, and individual intensive. Let's start off with finding you. That's our flagship program. That's the one that started it all for us. Right now at Evoke, that means that there are going to be between 5 and 7 individual participants there. So over a 5-day period, really 4.5 days, but it goes over 5 days. Over a 5-day period, the 5 to 7 of you are going to be working through your family of origin and current day struggles together. You get very close during that process. We prefer no family members to be present. What I mean by that is not spouses or parent and child, but on a case-by-case basis, we do allow for it. But ideally, we would ask family members to come to their own finding you. If they can do their own work, they feel safe to do it and not inhibited by the other person, that might be the exception. But we're not going to work on dyadic relationships during the process, right? It's going to be you working on you. Any age adults. Now, we've had intensives where we had ranges from 18 to 60 plus in the same room, maybe even 70. So it really can be any adult. And while that might sound like an incredible range to provide at the same time a therapeutic process for, you really learn from each other. You know, listening to an 18 or a 22-year-old when you're a 50-year-old parent can be very enlightening. You can learn a lot from them. And having the 18-year-old and the 22-year-old get exposed to somebody who's dealing with really some of the same issues that maybe have gone unaddressed for 30 and 40 years in their life can be incredibly powerful. We're talking about trauma, big T and little T trauma. That means it can be as subtle as one of your parents wasn't there for you or they were anxious and nagging, something as small as that to something more severe like abuse or death of a loved one. Anything in that range. Stage of life issues, trying to figure out what you're trying to do in your life with your marriage, with empty nest, with your career. Those kinds of things can be involved in it. Codependency, what does your relationship look like with other people, especially those that are dealing with mental health or addiction issues? About half of our participants are parents of Evoke students. The other half come from all over the country. So it's not focused and geared toward simply, merely Evoke parents. You're really looking for balance in your life and clarity. Again, not everything gets completely resolved, but hopefully we help you. We draw out from you what you need to know to set a course for yourself, to recognize what your project is. If you feel stuck in therapy, that means you're looking for a deeper dive into issues that might be at the heart of today's issues. That's what we're looking at. Why do you have repetitive patterns with your child where you have difficulty with boundaries? Why do you have repetitive issues in relationships over and over again, maybe with your spouse? And where does that come from? Where was the initial misinformation or the initial wound that led to it is contributing to this stuckness? For those of you that believe that going back is a waste of time and we should just start and go forward, this might not be for you. Our experiences, my experiences, that it's really, really easy to draw a pretty clear line between one's childhood and the things that are vexing them today, that are getting in the way of their happiness and clarity and serenity today. Finding family. Now, this can be any combination of family members from 2 to 8. That's what we have space for right now. We've had parent and child. We've had siblings. We've had adult siblings just come together. We've had, of course, parent with several children or parents with children or parents with a child. So any combination of family members. The family program is less regimented than the finding you. The finding you kind of goes through a step-by-step process. We're flexible, of course, but there's a certain curriculum that we follow. Finding family is more organic because every family is different, right? I think it was the start of Anna Karenina that says, by Leo Tolstoy, that says, every happy family is happy in the same way, and every unhappy family is unhappy in a different way, something like that. So when we try to write a family curriculum to guess at what's getting in the way or what's troubling families, it really doesn't work. So we co-create it from the beginning with all of you and create a treatment plan and then work it through. The time frame is customized. We suggest a minimum of 2.5 days. That's an arrival, an evening session, and then 2 full days. Anything younger than mid-teens should consult with you about that. It's hard for 14 and younger. It's hard for them to sit, many of them, to sit for extended periods of time and go through the work. Younger than that might require more games, more downtime, more pursuits activities, things like fishing and hiking. So you're only going to get a few hours here and there during the day. It's fine, but the expectations have to change when the children get younger. As you move into later teens and young adulthood, most people can do this for 6-7 hours a day. It's not a good idea to use the family intensive for an intervention, although it does have that effect sometimes. We've had clients that have come, young adult and adolescent clients, who afterwards the parents and or the child has chosen to come to our therapeutic program later. That can happen. But we don't want to think about it as that. I want to say this as clear as I can for families. If you think about it, if you're thinking about it in terms of, if I bring my child to the program, the therapist can help me fix the child, you'll find that we do much, much more than that, right? We give your child a voice and we help you understand your participation in the issues, in the dance that's going on with your child. Everybody, we believe that everybody needs something in an intensive. You're not coming just to be a support, just to be the one with the complaint, so to speak, and that we're going to take that baton from you and then just focus on the identified patient. We think of, at our family intensives or our couple intensives, we think of the entire system as the identified patients. The two projects that most people, and this happens so often for families, when it's successful, and it often is, the children come out of it feeling like they were given a voice. Somebody advocated for them very powerfully for maybe the first time in their life, if not for years. And the parents get a new project. And hope comes out of that new project. Ultimately, everybody's walls are lowered a bit. Everybody's disarmed because everybody's given a voice. It's not a shaming or a judgmental or a hot seat kind of experience. Everybody gets seen. Everybody gets heard. Everybody gets understood. And everybody gets supported and empowered during the process. Psychodrama is primary, even in our family intensives. But it often can look more like family therapy, and it can include some of the activities that I mentioned earlier, some of the outdoor activities, if that's better for mid-teens or younger. Finding connection is for couple. So far, we've only done one couple at a time, but we're absolutely open to doing multiple couples at the same time. We've opened that up before, but we can't get two couples to do it at the same time. So if you want to put together two or three couples to work on, we're happy to do that also. But the way we've typically run it, traditionally run it, is one couple at a time. Again, 2.5 day minimum is suggested. The program is catered specifically for the couple. The treatment plan is co-created with the therapist. We use psychodrama, exercises, and psychoeducation. And what would look like more like traditional couples therapy with maybe a little bit more emphasis on role-playing. We are going to look at your family of origin the same way we would in a finding you and a finding family. But that's not going to be the bulk of the emphasis, like it might be 50% of the emphasis in finding you. But it's going to be a significant piece. What are each partner's project, right? What are each member of the dyad, what's their project? What do they have to work on? And again, we believe that both have something to work on. Skills are going to be the foundation, but the bedrock is going to be a transformative work, coming out of it with a whole new perspective on what it means to be in a couple relationship. We have professional growth workshops for professionals. This is for people that are in the mental health or addiction field. So we run these by invitation. These are reoccurring yearly, but they can also be set up by somebody putting them together. We've had that happen also, where people bring a group together. We do 8 or 9 professionals for these. One of the biggest concerns about the professionals, I think this will be interesting for you non-professionals. One of the biggest questions that they have is about confidentiality. How can I do my personal work in front of people that I mix with professionally? It is an almost perfectly consistent concern of people coming in. I'll tell you this about my own story. When I went to my first intensive in 2010, I became aware a mutual friend alerted myself and another friend that we were ending up at the same intensive at a program. And we thought that was great and that we would connect on that. But we made sure that we were in separate small groups because this particular program was much larger. So we made sure that we were going to end up in separate small groups. After a half a day or a day or so, when we were on our break and we were visiting with each other, we both said we wish we had been in the same group together. Even to this day, we talk about that. My experience is that I go with a group of men every year that I work with, that I refer to, that refer to us, to me. And my experience is simply this, that once you expose your underbelly and see everybody else's underbelly exposed, you're all the same. We virtually all are the same. While the specific details, the small brushstrokes of our stories are unique and different, we're all dealing with fear and insecurity and grief and sadness, right? Hurt and pain and loss. And once you get to that level, once you strip away everything that protects you from feeling those things and from being those things, it's really easy to connect to somebody and trust increases. The fascinating thing about it is it's not that much different than talking to strangers. And many of the therapists that I've worked with over 7 or 8 years, many of them, some of this was their first foray into therapy. That's fascinating to me. It's actually been one of the programs that I thought would take off quicker than it has at our program, but my experience has been that people, even in the treatment field, are very resistant to therapy. So if you find yourself being resistant to some of the invitations that we and others make about doing your own work, talk to the therapist who's making the invitation about their experience about getting into it. How easy or difficult, what did they have to overcome? Have they done it? Because there are a lot of therapists in this field who have done little to none of their own personal work. Now, they justify it the same way that the layperson justifies it, which is, I don't need it. My life's going pretty well. I find that excuse doesn't really fly. We all can be more aware. We all can look at and explore our blind spots. We all can look at the things that get in our way in our relationships, no matter how well we're doing, even if we're fairly high functioning or even very high functioning. Why do we group professionals by themselves? The level of process is different, right? We also want to provide them with a support system going forward, so when they see each other at conferences and at meetings, that they have a bond, right? That they're not alone out there in the world. And that there's a shared challenge of being a mental health professional, right? The challenges that come to us for self-care and setting boundaries, for holding people's pain and trauma and grief day after day, to being able to balance the fact that we see ourselves as out there doing life-saving work, and at the same time we have children and spouses at home that need us also. We just started doing individual intensives. I was reluctant at first, thinking that there wouldn't be enough work for it, but we just take it slower. It's all that much more comprehensive. The program, again, is flexible. You might want to do it because of confidentiality. There are some people that have a high profile who have requested this of us, so we've done that for them. Maybe you're beginning your own work and it feels safer for you to start alone. Maybe you feel like your trauma is particularly raw, and so you need that container, that safe container of just the staff. We would ask you, just like with families, this is important. I didn't say this when I was talking about families, but I want to say this. Please consider finding you. Please consider that. You don't have to do it first, but consider it, especially for the families. In a generic sense, I would encourage everybody who wants to do a finding family to do, every parent to do a finding you first. We'll offer discounts to those who will do a finding you for a later finding family if they're willing to do those in that order. Again, we expect substance-free, no use during the program. And again, the communication electronics during the individual intensive is also limited, only for emergencies. What are the take-homes? We meet you where you're at. Carl Rogers, the famous master therapist, talked about this idea that watch what happens when you understand where somebody's at. Watch what happens when you see them exactly where they're at, and how often that's the starting point or the impetus of their healing. Not coming at them trying to fix that or with solutions, but just understanding and seeing them. And we believe that fundamentally at Evoke. I believe that the intensives are the best thing that you can do for your struggling loved one. Your loved one struggling with mental health or addiction. I believe that in my heart. I don't go to couples therapy. I haven't been to couples therapy in a long time. I've done a couples intensive years ago, but I haven't done couples therapy in many years. I haven't done family therapy very often. I've done a few sessions here or there. I go to individual therapy every week, and I go to a men's intensive every year. And I will tell you, that's where I do my family work. That's where I focus on what I need to do in my marriage as a father, as a boss, as a colleague, as a friend. Find the roots. Chopping it off at the surface, cutting the weed off at the surface. The analogy, of course, is self-evident. It doesn't work. Finding yourself is the key. What I realized in mine was, what became so clear is, all the fear and trepidation I had about my life decisions were just that I couldn't control anything. And that the only thing that I could control was going back again and again and again to myself. And showing up in my relationships and telling the truth about what I felt and thought and needed and wanted. And I'm not talking about this unempathic, unconnected, disconnected way of not considering somebody else, but just showing up vulnerably and honestly. It is catharsis, but it's also education and hopefully making a plan for you going forward so you can maintain the gains, the experiences, the aha moments that you experience at the intensive. It's a safe place to explore yourself away from distractions. And it changes the question from what do I do? This is what I talk about in chapter one of my book. It changes the question from what do I do to who am I? Like I talked about before, when somebody asked me how I would coach a codependent person who's dealing with a young adult, addict, my response is I wouldn't tell them what to do. I would help them heal and look at and make sense out of their own codependency, and then they would decide what to do out of that place, right? You find yourself, you find who you are, which is not an easy project. You find out who you are, and then you make decisions. I was just sharing with a client just today about an experience I had last week where I was self-deluded to some extent. And I had to talk to my wife and say, here's what I was really feeling. I wasn't being totally honest with myself or with you. And this is what I was really feeling, and this is what I really needed. And of course, my wife, who's wonderful, was grateful. She suspected that I was not totally forthcoming with what was going on with me. And after I shared it with her specifically, it brought intimacy. So it changes the question altogether. I'm happy to take any comments or any questions. I can also go on to upcoming events and announcements and take questions at the end too. I'll go do that. Let's do that. I will be in London October 6th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Guildford Theatre. You must RSVP for this. If you know somebody in London, please share this with them. RSVP to melanie@evoketherapy.com. I'll be in Chicago on October 27th, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Haven't been there in a while. I look forward to that. Our next intensive, our next Finding You, is October 23rd to 27th. So it's filling up. So register soon. The last one filled up several weeks ago. Just concluded yesterday. Email intensives@evoketherapy.com for more information or for dates or to RSV or to fill out the application. Pursuits trips are for families and young adults. Adventure activities all over the world. Think therapy light or sober fun. We ask every parent to attend six 12-step support groups before their child has completed Evoke. If you haven't started now, even if your child has completed Evoke, please do it. Any combination of Al-Anon, CODA, or Families Anonymous. You can also go to adultchildren.org to look for a support group which helps people that grew up in the families of really toxic or alcoholic or addicted families. Alateen is for teens. Recovery.org is a Buddhist-inspired recovery program, not focused on a higher power as much, more of a Buddhist-inspired approach. NAMI.org, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. They have local chapters in areas throughout the country. Go there to NAMI.org to find resources and classes in your area that are free of charge. On social media, you can find these broadcasts on your iPhone, iOS device using the podcast app. On an Android device, use the SoundCloud app. Or on your computer, go to soundcloud.com. On Twitter and Instagram, you can find Evoke Therapy programs using the handle @EvokeTherapy, or you can find the Summit Lodge using @EvokeSummitLodge on Instagram. On Facebook, find Evoke by searching Evoke Therapy Programs or the Alumni Foundation on Facebook by searching Evoke Family Foundation. That's an organization of former parents who have banded together to help people that can't afford therapy. Our blog is available. Weekly content is available there. My first book, The Journey of the Heroic Parent, is available on Amazon. We're really close to the launch of the second book. I'm getting excited. That'll be coming soon. So go to Amazon there for that first book. Are there any live questions or comments that anybody would like to share tonight? We will be hosting a Finding You 2 again. We've already had a couple. Those are really, really fun. If you've been through the Finding You, you want to reconnect to your work, even come with people that came in your first Finding You. We're starting to have more and more alumni so we can schedule more and more Finding You too. So we're going to be scheduling a couple here coming up soon. Looks like there are no questions. All right, I'm going to do live question and answers next Monday, September 30th at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. You can invite family and friends. You can submit questions in advance to webinar@evoketherapy.com. I'll be happy to address them there. Anything you want to address regarding to therapy, aftercare, Evoke programming, anything that's related to a client or a participant's therapy here. Of course, I can't address specifics, but happy to take any questions that you might be stuck with and might not be able to get to with your Evoke therapist on the phone call. Or if you have extended family members that are not understanding the program or concerned or interested in what you and your family are going through, please give them the link and we're happy to host them there. So that'll be next Monday evening, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, live questions and answers for family and friends of Evoke participants. All right, folks, I hope this is a helpful point of contact. And for those of you that are new, I hope it's a helpful introduction. Like I said, I love it. I believe in it. Somebody just submitted a comment, and it's a great one to close on. A participant says, I highly recommend the intensives. Life-changing! Exclamation point. I've attended two. All right, folks, there's one last programming note. I'm going to be on a TV show, Great Day Houston, this Thursday, September 26th at 9 a.m. Central Time. So if you're in the Houston area, they would welcome you out to be a part of the live studio audience where I'll be taking live questions. If you're not in Houston, you can listen to it live streaming on greatdayhouston.com. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week. Take care, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Shadows slowly chose.